We've been spending some time in Daniel. We're going to come to the fifth time that God inserts himself into that great time of the nation of Israel whenever they are in captivity. The first time he inserts himself into that is whenever a king has a dream that he can't remember and he wants to know what the dream was, and because it was so important, what the interpretation of it was. The second time that he inserts himself into that is whenever the king builds an idol and wants everybody to bow down, and the three Hebrew children say, we can't do that. And so they're thrown into the fiery furnace, and Jesus walks with them in the fire. The third time is whenever the king has a dream that he can remember this time. There's a tree, and it covers everything in the world is blessed by this tree. And he sees it being cut down. And yet he's aware of the fact that there's something special about that tree, that the tree has been prepared for a special reason. And he asks, and Daniel is able to give him that awareness of that tree. And after he survives and comes back from the madness that comes upon his mind, he believes now in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the fourth time that God intervenes is whenever Belshazzar throws the great party, and he has all of the vessels of the house of God, which are used for only for the Lord's worship. He brings them in for his great party, and a hand writes on the wall, and it's the end of the Babylonian Empire. And outside are the Medes and the Persians, and the Medes and the Persians have found a way to come into the city. Now then, this is the last time God's going to intervene in this time of the Jews' captivity, because evil is one more time been determined against God's people. So we're in chapter 6 of Daniel, and we want to start with verse 1. And it pleased Darius the Mede to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over his whole kingdom. So we see he's arranging a new way of being able to take care of his kingdom, and it's fairly efficient looking. He sets over 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 120, he has three presidents, of whom Daniel was chief, that the princes might give accounts to them, and that the king should have no damage. Don't you wish that we had that kind of situation in America today, where everybody was able to give an accounting and they were held accountable for what they did? I don't know if we'd have a government that was so overrun with waste and with graft, but we do have one that is overrun with waste and graft. And here, Daniel being the chief, the things that he has put in place, those who would love to be in a government that has waste and graft are really chafing. They're saying, wow, we're in positions. We should be getting wealthy. Sound like our politicians today? We should be getting wealthy because we're in positions to know people and to make deals and to get things done and to have a little bit slipped underneath the table or as we're walking by into our hand. And then we can say, ah, look what I'm doing for all of you good people. And so they're really chafing under Daniel because that's not possible as long as he's doing what he's doing. He's representing the king. Oh, that I would represent my king as well as Daniel did. And it says here that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the Mede-Persian Empire was prospering with Daniel being the chief among the presidents. Do you realize that there's an excellent spirit that is in us, and it's because of that excellent spirit and the fact that whenever we come back with Jesus, that this world will know blessings that they can only dream of today. But shouldn't people have dreams? Dreams of something better? dreams that can keep them headed towards the throne instead of destroying this world around them. And so there was an excellent spirit that was in him. Me too. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find an occasion nor a fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Wow, when's the last time we had a politician like that? I mean, I don't think America's ever had a politician like that, but we've had some amazing leaders. And we need to pray that God's not finished giving to us amazing leaders, because if the one that's going to come along, if he makes it to the inauguration, because America is so filled with hate and the fires of that hate is being stoked so high, I won't be a bit surprised if he doesn't make it. But we need to pray that God will give us leaders who can give us prosperity and give us hope and give us the opportunity to live our lives peaceably. And so they fought it. They found it, were looking for occasion, and they could not find error or fault in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." I'm telling you, people hate God because he finds people and he blesses them and he makes them a blessing. And people are saying, "Well, why can't I just do it by myself?" And you cannot. You cannot do it by yourself. Those of you who know that you have been blessed, and you know that you've been blessed and blessed too much. It's always amazing that God continues to bless us. But they could not find fault against him. And so they found a way to be able to bring him down using his own worship of his God. And these presidents and princes assembled themselves together to the king, and they said to the king, "Darius, live forever! And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a most wonderful royal law. And this law is going to honor you. Everybody's going to know that Darius is like a god. And it's going to honor you that whosoever shall make a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee," they can't make any petition to any god or man, "they can only for 30 days make petitions to you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." And Darius said, "I want everybody to believe I am a god, because I have the power of life and death over them, and I want them to fear me, and I want them to know that I can do things they can't." And so he says, "Well, that sounds like a good idea." Verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed." Verse 9, "Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree." Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, never had Daniel faced anything like this before. Not being able to ask anything of God, to pray, not being able to be able to honor his God and do those things before. There was always somebody who was wanting to do evil to the Jews, but God always had a way of being able to bring them through and exalting his people. Daniel was exalted in the fact that he could tell a king a dream that the king had forgotten. And he could tell the king what the dream, the interpretation was of the dream was from God. But now there is evil determined against God's people. I'm telling you, they were getting ready for there to be a bloodbath in this kingdom. It was going to start with Daniel. And every Jew was going to be involved in this. And this is just before, and Daniel knows this, this is just before they're going home. 70 years are just about past. God had promised, 70 years you'll be in captivity, and I will bring you out of there. And Daniel is saying, "What do I do? I'm going to honor my God no matter what." And Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before this happened. Now that they knew that Daniel did this, they were waiting for him to do this so they could accuse him. Somebody's waiting to accuse you and me right now. But Daniel doesn't go and say, "Oh Lord, what are we going to do?" He goes in and he begins to thank God. And I've got several things written down here that Daniel could possibly thank God for. One was to be a natural born child of Abraham, who the promise was given down to. Promise, 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 generation after generation. And so the Jews were always, even in their captivity, were remembering the great promises of God. And he thanked God for the promises that God had given to them. And then the words, the oracles of God that had been given to them. He thanked God for how the Word worked in them. And he was so thankful for that. And then he thanked God for life, and for the abundance of life that God had given to him in the midst of his slavery. And then he thanked God for his sins being forgiven. He may not be able to offer a blood sacrifice in Babylon, but he remembered how blood sacrifices were offered. They would take an innocent sacrifice. They would lay it out. The man or the woman or the person was required to lay their hand upon the head. The blood would begin to run out of that innocent sacrifice dying in his place. And they would all remember what God said while they were in Egypt. "Whenever I see the blood, I will pass over you and remember your sins no more." Then he prayed, he thanked God for protection, how God had protected his people all through the years and was protecting them even now. And then he thanked God for never leaving him. The Jews might not be faithful. They might have to go into captivity, but God never left them. And then he thanked God that he was blessed beyond measure and he had been made into a blessing. You say, well, how was he made into a blessing? When the king was getting ready to kill so many wise men, and God gave him the answer to the dream. Every one of those wise men knew that they had the blessing of life because Daniel had been made a blessing. So there were many things he could thank God for. I wonder how long our list is. And what we thank God for. He did it 3 times a day. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did before time. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake to the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or any man for 30 days, save you only, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "Yes, that's true, because I am Darius, the mighty Mede." And they said to him, it's according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it cannot be altered. And they answered and they said unto him, "King, that Daniel," now I tell you, bloodbath has been determined. Evil's been determined against God's people. "That Daniel," how would it be against all of God's people? Because they would start with him, the top one, and they would go down to the next three. Maybe the 3 Hebrew children were still alive. I don't know. And then they would go down to the families that were underneath them. And then they would eventually find every person in the kingdom, and they would end up destroying them all. Because these people served a God, and they were praying to that God anyway. If Daniel was doing it, they were too. And you could accuse them. And the Jews were about to be destroyed just before they were supposed to go home. And so they said, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah," you see how they're putting the Jews in the crosshairs also, regards not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but makes his petition three times a day to his God. Now I want you to know something. Before this last election, and I don't know how long I'll feel relief, I knew that possibly in the very near future there would come a day whenever someone would come accusing Liberty Baptist Church of being a bastion of hate because we would not perform weddings, or because I would not. And I knew that there was a possibility of going to prison because of this. That's not really gone away. I mean, we don't know how that's going to play out. We all think, well, the world's totally changed. No, we're hoping and praying for what God's able to do with this man. If the woman had been elected, we would be hoping and praying for what God would be able to do with that woman. But here we see him. He is being accused before the king, and he says, he has the children of the captivity of Judah regard thee not, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And then the king, when he heard these words, was angry with himself. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and you were so mad at yourself? I'm mad at you. I've seen in the movies where somebody will take their hand and bash that mirror in. I haven't done that yet. I'm not ruling it out. I might want to put something around my hand so that you all won't say, what have you done to your hand? Look at all that glass sticking out of your knuckles. Because it's totally possible, but we spend a lot of time angry at others, but we spend a lot of time angry with ourselves. And God is not angry with us tonight. God is in love with us tonight. God wants to set a hedge of protection around us, evil being determined against us. He wants to bless us beyond all measure, so that people keep saying, I just don't understand that person. Their work, they're where they are, they just seem to prosper. They're just happy all the time. I don't understand that. And so we see here that the king is angry with himself. And whenever he said he was displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Well, we're going to find out later that the king fasts all night long. I think he started fasting at this point right here. I'm not going to eat till I find a way to be able to get Daniel out of this. I'm going to look for it. I don't know what time of the day it was. Was it after the first time of prayer? Was it after the second time of prayer? Had it gone on for several days and they had witnesses that had stood and watched and they said, can you believe that? Does he not know that he's not supposed to do that? Is he crazy? No, he's crazy like a fox. When you trust in God, amazing things happen. And so then these men assembled unto the king, and he set his heart to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians, is that no decree nor statute which the king has established may, can, or will be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God. Now I don't know if he believed this or not, but at least he's saying it. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I don't know if he believed it now, but he's going to believe it. You know, if it took my death for somebody to believe, they said, you need to do this thing. If you're not going to do it, we're going to put you in prison, or we're going to cast you into the lion's den. I'd love to be able to think that I'm going to go ahead and be like Daniel. I'd love to think I'm going to do that. I just don't know if I've got that same strength, that portion of iron in me. I believe I do. He will deliver thee. But I know that later on in this same story, this king is going to know that the God that Daniel served did deliver him. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel, that nobody might be able to get down there later and get him out. And then people say, well, there was some misdeed done. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Like I said, I believe he started fasting as soon as he got angry with himself. He spent the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went totally from him. When's the last time that you stayed up all night long crying out to, maybe you don't know who you're crying out to, but you're just saying, can't something be done? Is there not someone who can change this? Because the king doesn't, he's not found any way to be able to save Daniel. And the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Not only has he been angry with himself, now does he sound like a king? A lamentable voice. I wonder what it sounded like to those that he was over. Did they say, this man has weakness. We can probably use it against him. And he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God. Now then, this king knows what God has done for Daniel. Gave him a dream that the king couldn't remember. Gave him interpretation. He knew about his three fellows that had been thrust into the fiery furnace, how they came out. He knew about the next dream, and he knew about the cups on the wall, because Darius was the man who came into the palace where Belshazzar was that night. And they were honoring Daniel, because he'd given the interpretation of the writing on the wall. And in him he saw a most excellent spirit. When was the last time you saw anybody? Now you can say, every little baby I look at has a most excellent spirit. Now, I think they got lots of poop in them. And y'all might like poop, but I know God loves an excellent spirit. And that baby someday has to accept Jesus. Or if they've got a mother and father that have an excellent spirit, maybe that excellent spirit is on them. But when's the last time you saw somebody that has a most excellent spirit? Had the king seen anybody that day when he looked in the mirror? What have you done? I can't believe you let them lead you around like you got a ring in your nose. I'm so angry at you. The one man that he knew had an excellent spirit was in the lion's den all night long. And the king said, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king. Did he expect to hear Daniel? Or just burping and belching of lions? Bah, really good, king. Bah. But he says, O king, live forever. I'm telling you, the lamentable voice is going away. This king is standing up in all the glory that God is preparing to lay on him. An excellent spirit has enveloped him and is wooing him to allow that excellent spirit to deal with him and to live with him. O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel. Now, I believe this is Jesus. Just like there were four men in the fire, three Hebrew children and one that looked like the Son of God, I believe this is Jesus. And I sure would like to have known what Daniel and Jesus talked about all night long. Mostly, I think, Daniel talked to him about, can we still trust that God is going to bring us out? Well, yes, you can. Did not Jeremiah receive the word from God that after 70 years he'd be brought out of here? Yes, I know, but do you not understand there's a lot of evil that's been determined against us? How are we going to get out? Your God will take care of you. Can you give me some details? And they must have talked about details. When's the last time that we've We've talked with Jesus, and we've come away with the comfort that is beyond our understanding that we've been with the Lord. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Just to hear Him calling your name. Daniel, Daniel, don't be afraid. Daniel, come here, stand beside me. Daniel, you know what I call that one right there? That lion? That's Simba. You know what I call that one back over there? That one's Pinky. He named every one of the lions. Probably told him about what the lions, what their native habitat was like, and about and how he spoke to the lions. He closed their mouths. And he says, "My God has sent His angel, Jesus, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before Him, innocency, before my God, before this angel, innocency was found in me." Now, I want you to know that in Daniel 9:20, we want to look there right quick, because some of us say, well, they weren't able to find any problems with Him. And we might think that let me see. 9:20. I was looking at 9:21 for some reason. "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin." Well, the Persian and the Medes might not have found any trouble in him, but Daniel knew that he was a sinner. And he says, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel." You know, we need to confess our sins to God. We need to be honest about the fact that we are sinners and that God knows how to handle our sins. And that He's not ashamed to be called our God, in spite of the fact that we are sinners. That's a marvelous scripture there. You need to mark that down sometime, because you'll get to thinking that Daniel was just perfect in all of his ways. No, he was a sinner just like us. But before this God and before this angel, this visitation, this Holy One, had told him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid for your people because of their sins, because in heaven's eyes, you're innocent. Now then, don't you know that the king needed to hear that? Because he knew that he had messed up and he was not innocent in what had happened. He had listened to people that had flattered him and that twisted his head around, and he knew it was his fault that Daniel had had to spend the whole night in there. And he was angry at himself up till this time, whenever Daniel told him, before my God and before His angel, before Him, innocency was found in me. Oh, what else is in Him? A most excellent spirit was found in me. And also before thee, king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No matter of hurt was found on him, not a scratch. He didn't fall down while he was in there and bump his head on something. I don't know, maybe they had all of these lights down in the lion's den so that the lion could really find you easily. But I have an idea they just had a few candles burning here or there, if they had anything at all. But the light of the brightness of Jesus, because I believe when Jesus was there, He looked like He did on the mountaintop. Radiant, shining, the glorious One, the Holy One of Israel. And then was the king exceeding glad, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found on him, because he believed in his God. Now, if hurt is found on me someday, I want us to know that believing in God is what makes the difference here. In this particular instance, no hurt was found on him because he believed in God. But if I'm hurt, the scriptures say, as many as suffer with him, they shall also reign with him. And why shouldn't I suffer if he was willing to suffer for me, to take my sins away from me? Why shouldn't I? And there was no manner of hurt on him because he believed in God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote unto the people, nations, languages, all that dwell upon the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. This is almost the same word as shalom, which means wholeness, which means blessing, which means fullness, which means overflowing, which means amazing things. Peace be multiplied to you. To everyone in the empire, he wrote to people, nations, and language, I make a decree that in every dominion, all 120 of them of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Now I want you to see, there is a trickle-down effect that's going on here, because if they had killed Daniel, they would have started killing all the other Jews. Now that Daniel is in this most amazing of positions, he's never going to leave Babylon, by the way. He's an old man. He would never make the trip back. It's kind of like thinking about my mom with her little walker walking from here to her house. She'd never make it. Daniel's not going to make it back over there. He may not have been as weak as my mom was, but making it all the way back over there, he was never going to make that back. And yet because he trusted God, God didn't only deliver him, but he delivered all, just like God said he would, delivered all of his people. And we need to be emissaries of God to take the good news of deliverance into our nation. Not just deliverance from sin and deliverance from addiction and deliverance from being hated, but deliverance. Deliverance! And because that is exactly what happened here, God put a seal on the fact that the Jews were going home. And every Jew knew it. And everybody there knew because the word went out, because they said, wow, look what God has done for the Jews the whole time they're here. Let's learn more about them. What did their God do for them? He made a promise to them that they're going home in 70 years. I make a decree that every dominion and kingdom that men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall even be to the end, for he delivers and he rescues and he works signs and wonders in heaven above and in earth beneath. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered even in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we see here, without faith it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of the one who diligently seek him. Now then, we know that our enemy, our adversary, as a roaring lion, goes about determining evil for us. And whenever evil begins to rear up its ugly head, we should not be those that go, oh, what am I going to do? It's just not fair. We need to say, my God has some plans. And even if, like I said, the possibility of going to jail because me being a minister of hate and not being willing to do weddings of a certain type and doing things like that here at Liberty Baptist Church, if that had happened and I had gone there, I would want to be able to go there and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Because the enemy, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour, and he may be able to come up and get a good whiff of me and say, I'm going to remember who you are because I've got your smell in my nostrils. Good, I'm glad you enjoy it because I'm pretty stinky. But you're not going to be able to do anything to me but what my God can make a blessing out of it. Okay, the last thing I want to do to close this all out is to sing a song of Job. Remember, Joseph was able to say, evil, you may have determined evil against me, but God meant it for good. And this song is a song of Job that he sang. In spite of the fact that his children all died, his wealth was all gone, his wife told him, just curse God and die. He said, no, I'm going to trust God. And at the very end of the story, he has twice as much of everything that he lost. 7 children in heaven, 7 children on earth. And so listen to this song as we close out this evening. What have you done to deserve all this, curse God and die. What advice for a man who has trusted God most of his life. Don't you know that Daniel may have at least thought, well, maybe I should just go ahead and die. Then Job speaks as he stands among his broken down domain. In the midst of it all, I shall stand and not fall, and bless his holy name in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all, I found a hope that will never let me fall. For Jesus has heard my call, and by me he stands tall, and in him I stand complete in the midst of it all. Should the day ever come when everyone bows their heads to cry, he didn't make it out of the lion's den. And when man has done all that man can do, and I'm left alone to die, well, even then, surrounded by affliction's greatest pain, in the midst of it all, I shall stand and not fall, and bless his holy name, because we haven't seen it all. What our God has come to do for us all. He has plans beyond what we could think. Yes, he does, and he wants to bring it to pass. And we want to thank God that in the midst of it all, even if the lions eat me, I'm coming back. And whenever Jesus steps on that mountain and comes down towards the Temple Mount, somewhere way in the back, I want to be heard shouting, "Glory! I'm back!" You can't keep the world from changing now. Let's all stand. And let's sing Amazing Grace. Because Daniel was living such amazing grace. When Daniel got down in that hole, I don't know what he thought he was going to see down there. Maybe a big open mouth with long fangs going. But he saw Jesus. Wherever I am, whatever happens to us, let's look for Jesus. And let's believe that he knows how to turn what somebody has determined for evil into good. Father, thank you for a good day, and thank you for your marvelous word. Thank you, Father, for your good promises. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for a life so abundant. Thank you that you want to bless us, and you want to make us blessings. Father, we don't want to look at Washington anymore and say, finally, blessings are going to flow now. We want to look at ourselves and say, God said he wants to bless me anyway. Doesn't matter what Washington's doing. And he wants to make me a blessing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.